Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Of the many problems urban places face in the 21st century, one that many thought was behind us was lead poisoning in children. Lead paint was banned from use on home interiors decades ago, and even leaded gasoline, which made for lead-tainted exhaust and residue, has been gone from the scene for more than 20 years.
But as the situation in Flint, Michigan reminds us, lead poisoning is still a real problem. And back in September, a report in Milwaukee Magazine found that lead paint is still causing serious health problems in Milwaukee children.
The piece was by senior editor Matt Rohde, who joined us in the Lake Effect studio then. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Give us a snapshot of how big a problem lead paint is in Milwaukee and where it is generally a problem.
It was much worse in the 90s. Somebody told me once, this most recent story came out, that Milwaukee Magazine did a story in 1991 about lead paint. And it was quite... And the problem in the 90s was quite bad, where you had 20, 30 some percent of kids having elevated blood levels of lead. And nowadays, the CDC keeps revising down how much lead it can, in a person's, a child's bloodstream that it considers to be dangerous. And the city health department in Milwaukee, the estimate right now is that roughly 10% of kids have too much lead in their bloodstream.
And these are kids of how old?
Under the age of 6.
Milwaukee is full of old housing stock, which I imagine is part of the problem. But there are, you know, specific places within Milwaukee where it's worse than others, right?
Right. Yeah, on the inner city area of the north side, and also on the south side, about 3/4 of cases occur on the north side. And you have old houses. You have houses where the windows stand open a lot, and you don't necessarily have air conditioning, and the window jams are far and away the greatest area of contamination that gets released into the house because the windows slide up and down. Then all this dust accumulates on the windowsills and gets blown around the house. Also, outside dirt, because in cities you had cars for decades and decades blowing leaded exhaust, and it kind of built up in the topsoil over time. So kids playing outside in the dirt is another way that they get poisoned.
Well, and in fact, you cite one example where there's a small child who was found to have lead poisoning, who was too small to have been crawling around to have consumed the lead paint on her own. And in fact, it turned out that the mother had been dealing with, while she was pregnant, the condition that compelled her to eat dirt, right?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a mystery because and non-ambulatory infant had all had quite a high level of lead poisoning, and it wasn't clear how she'd gotten it because doctors used to toddlers wandering around and getting dust in their hands and then sticking their hands in their mouth. But they sort of deduced over time that this child must have gotten it in utero from the mother, because when the fetus is growing, it's taking all this calcium from the mother. But unfortunately, the body thinks that lead is calcium and stores it in the bones. And if you're a pregnant woman, you can get passed on to the fetus. And that bone storage part is really a bad thing about lead. I mean, the poisoning would not be as bad if not for when children get lead in their bloodstream, a lot of it gets stored in their bones. And then that's stored in the bones has a half-life of 20 to 30 years. So they can are continually being kind of drip, 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 re-poisoned.
Well, talk about financial liability for this, because there has been some debate about, you know, who ought to be responsible for the pretty high dollar amount that remediating all this lead and all this medical treatment runs up.
So the rage right now and for some years has been these big lawsuits against the original manufacturers of lead paint. The most successful case was in California, which is on appeal now, which won over $1 billion to remediate lead throughout the state. There's one case in Rhode Island that got pretty far, but then it kind of fell apart. And there's one that Peter Earle, the local attorney, is working on in Milwaukee. And the liability with landlords is a little dodgy because in Wisconsin there's precedent for considering lead paint general pollution, sort of like air pollution. So then a landlord would not be liable for if you developed asthma because of the power plant next door, you wouldn't be able to sue your landlord necessarily for that. So your options are pretty small. Then you're going up against these big companies like NL Industries or Sherwin-Williams. They have big legal teams, and these cases have been kind of litigated to death, and it's taken years and years and years to get them as far as they've gotten today. But they've had some success.
And I imagine some of it is tricky because someone today doesn't really have the ability to know exactly, you know, whose paint was used to paint a house in 1957 or something. And so the lawsuits are against the lead paint companies in general, right?
Yeah, this is the biggest point of contention. Is it who do we sue, because we can't figure out whose paint this was exactly. And so there's something called the risk contribution doctrine, which was previously seen in a number of cases or developed in a number of cases involving a medication, and it wasn't clear which patient were taking which manufacturer's version of this medication. And now this risk contribution doctrine is we can't tell which paint company, so we're just going to sue all the paint companies, and all we have to establish is that each paint company was making paint at the time the house that resulted in the contamination and poisoning was painted. And this was really backed up by a state Supreme Court opinion that was somewhat controversial.
Now, for either homeowners or landlords or tenants, what are the options now for people who are trying to get the lead paint removed from their house, who might not necessarily have the money to just completely repaint the house themselves?
Right. If you're in the targeted area on the north side, your options are pretty good through the city health department to get a lot of window replacement paid for. You just have to meet certain requirements, but once you do, they'll pay the most of what it costs to replace the windows in your house, which will drastically reduce the likelihood for anybody in the house getting poisoned. The flat paint on the wall is, unless there's some kind of deterioration, it's usually not much of an issue.
What about the south side?
That's a bit trickier. There are loans for home rehabilitation and different resources that you can tap into. The 16th Street Clinic has a pretty active lead program that kind of makes up for the not having the grant funding that the north side does. The city, the last big grant they got, they wrote pretty narrowly to the north side because they wanted to, they said, to be more targeted. But this left the south side without the same big pot of money to draw from. And there's a lady I spoke to for the story, Carmen Reinmund, who works for 16th Street, whose job is pretty much to drive around in her car with a vacuum and industrial Kleenexes and wipe up a lot of the dust and sort of knock down the worst of it.
Which exposes her to a lot of potentially flying around, lead dust flying around.
Yeah, one has to wonder. The researchers I spoke to said, we've studied quite a bit what happens to children, and it's all pretty disturbing how negative the effects appear to be. But we seem to know not much about adults. And I know the contractors who work on window removal will sit out a day or a while, kind of go on a little vacation from doing that kind of work if their blood levels climb too high.
But despite all of this, the numbers do seem to be going down.
They were really shockingly bad in the 90s, and it's significantly lower now. And that 10% figure of kids under six came from that's related to the most recent CDC level, which is pretty low. The bad news is that they still have found reductions in school performance and behavior. Kids get suspended more often. There were a couple studies examining those factors among MPS kids. They still haven't found an amount of lead that's essentially non-toxic, because you can go all the way down to 2 micrograms per deciliter of blood, and they still see negative effects that are essentially irreversible.
Matt Rohde, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
Matt Rohde's article on lead paint in Milwaukee was in the September issue of Milwaukee Magazine. You can find links to NPR's coverage of the lead poisoning crisis in Flint, Michigan at wuwm.com.